Welcome back, everybody. Today, we're going to be doing a deep dive into some really cool stuff from Dr. John Oswalt's lectures on the Book of Kings.
No, yeah.
And specifically, we're looking at part three of session 15, where he digs into the battles between Ahab, the king of Israel, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram.
Right.
Now, at first glance, you might think, okay, ancient battles, why should I care?
Yeah.
But trust me, this isn't just some boring history lesson. These battles, they reveal a deeper struggle, like a clash between Yahweh and all the pagan gods,
Yeah.
and how all that, those forces play out in the choices we make as humans.
Yeah. You know what's really interesting about these stories is that they're more than just, military conflicts.
Right.
Like you have Ahab, he's the king of God's chosen people,
Right.
right? But he's not exactly the perfect example of faithfulness.
Right.
And Ben-Hadad, let's just say he really underestimates Yahweh's power.
Yeah.
And it doesn't end well for him.
Oh, yeah. He makes some big mistakes.
Yeah.
So, at first, Ben-Hadad assumes that Yahweh's only powerful in the hills. Like, he's just a localized deity.
Right.
So, after he loses that first battle in the hilly terrain of Samaria, he's
Right.
like, okay, next time I'll fight on the plains and for sure I'll win.
Yeah, planes are my thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, and this is where Oswald asks this really interesting question. Is Yahweh limited to like a specific location,
Right.
or is he the God of the entire universe?
Be bigger than just the hills.
Yeah, and Ben-Hadad finds out the hard way.
He learns the hard way.
Yeah, he learns that Yahweh's power isn't like limited by geography.
No.
And Oswald brings this home to us by asking, who is Yahweh in your life?
It makes you think.
Yeah, are we putting him in a box?
Yeah,
Are we
that.
limiting his power based on our own limited understanding?
That is such a powerful question to think
Yeah.
about. Like, how are we maybe accidentally limiting God in our own lives
Right.
without even realizing it?
Right.
And speaking of limitations, Ahab's army is described as like two small flocks of goats compared to this huge Aramean force.
Oh, yeah.
It just seems totally hopeless.
It
If there's
does.
no way they could win.
Yeah. But that's actually where God's grace shines through,
Okay.
despite Ahab's, flawed leadership
Right.
and the impossible odds. Yahweh gives the Israelites these miraculous victories.
So it seems like what Oswald's saying is that even when we're not at our best, even when we make mistakes,
Right.
God's grace is still available.
Yeah.
That's encouraging.
Absolutely. Oswald uses this really cool image of these tiny flocks of goats
Yeah.
facing this massive army.
Right.
And, it's meant to resonate with our own struggles. Like, think about those times in your life when you felt overwhelmed, like you're up against something impossible with almost no resources.
Yeah.
It's in those moments when everything seems lost that remembering Yahweh's power and his willingness to step in can make all the difference.
It's like he's always there, even
Right.
when we don't see him.
Right.
So even with these crushing defeats, Ben-Hadad's advisors come up with a new plan.
Yeah, okay.
Instead of brute force, they say, let's appeal to Ahab's mercy. And the word they use for mercy is so important. It's that Hebrew word hesed,
Oh yeah, his guy's his head.
which has much deeper meaning than just, like pity or forgiveness.
Yeah. So what does hesed actually mean, and why is it so important in this story?
I'm glad you asked.
Okay.
So hesed, it's this amazing combination of grace and loving kindness and steadfast loyalty.
Oh wow.
It's a covenant word
Okay.
pointing back to the deep and abiding relationship between God and his people.
Yeah.
And what's fascinating is that Oswald suggests that the kings of Israel,
Okay.
through their interactions with Yahweh and his laws, they've actually learned to show hesed. Even a
Right.
messed up king like Ahab
Yep.
seems to have picked up on this aspect of God's character.
Wow. So Ahab, feeling maybe a little bit of this hesed,
Right.
makes a surprising choice.
Right.
He spares Ben-Hadad's life
Oh, wow.
and even makes a covenant with him. On the surface, it seems like an act of mercy, right?
It does.
Yeah. But here's where things get complicated. Because right after Ahab makes this decision, a prophet shows up.
Uh-oh.
And this prophet, he does this really dramatic thing. He demands to be struck.
Oh, wow.
And then he tells Ahab a story about an escaped prisoner.
Okay.
The point of the story is to show how Ahab, by letting Ben-Hadad go, has messed with divine justice.
That's intense.
Yeah.
So is Oswald saying that Ahab messed up by showing mercy?
It's not that simple.
Okay.
Oswald asks whether Ahab was really acting out of hesed,
Right.
that covenant loyalty rooted in God's character,
Okay.
or if he was letting pride and politics cloud his judgment.
Okay.
And how Ahab reacts to the prophet is interesting.
Okay.
He's sullen and angry, but he doesn't like openly reject the message. Oswald calls this a hangover from Ahab's biblical faith.
Okay.
It suggests that somewhere deep down, he still recognizes God's authority.
He knows he's messed up a little bit.
Yeah.
So we've got this king who seems caught between, you know, his human impulses and this deeper awareness of God's will.
Exactly.
So did Ahab actually show true chesed?
That is the question.
Or did he totally miss the mark?
It's a big one. And that leads us right into part two of this deep dive, where we're going to explore the ins and outs of Ahab's decision and what it shows us about how we understand God's mercy and justice.
I can't wait.
Me neither.
So we're left with this question. Was Ahab's choice to spare Ben-Hadad a true act of chesed? Or did he kind of step over the line?
Yeah, Oswald talks about this tension between mercy and justice.
Right.
On one hand, it seems like Ahab is extending grace to his enemy, which is a key part of chesed.
Right.
But on the other hand, there's this feeling that he's interfering with God's plan.
Yeah.
Maybe even like taking over God's authority by taking things into his own hands.
It's like he's trying to be merciful, but on his own terms. He's not really seeking God's guidance on how to handle this whole situation.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it gets to the core of what Oswald's trying to show us here. He said, isn't just about, you know, those warm, fuzzy feelings of compassion.
Okay.
It's about acting in line with God's covenant loyalty, which always includes justice.
That makes sense. It's not just about being nice. It's about doing what's right.
Right.
And acting in a way that reflects God's character.
Exactly.
But how do we know when we're really acting out of chesed versus just following our own emotions or ideas about mercy?
That's a great question. And I think it's something we all struggle with.
Yeah.
You know, Oswald reminds us that we can't just assume we know what's best, even when our intentions seem good.
Right.
He challenges us to think about whether we're trying to control the situation.
Yeah.
Or if we're truly surrendering to God's will.
You know, it's interesting because earlier we were talking about Ben-Hadad trying to limit God's power
right.
by fighting on the plains instead of the hills.
Right.
It's almost like Ahab is doing something similar,
yes.
trying to contain God's justice by extending mercy on his own terms.
That's a great connection. Right. Both Ben-Hadad and Ahab, in their own ways, are trying to put limits on God's actions.
It's like they're both trying to put God in a box.
Yeah. They're missing the bigger picture,
yep.
the understanding that God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts.
So what does this all mean for us today?
Yeah.
Are we supposed to just sit back and let bad things happen because we don't want to interfere with God's justice?
Right. I think that's a valid concern.
Yeah.
Oswald's not saying we should be passive when we see injustice.
Okay.
What he's urging us to do is to approach these situations with humility.
Right.
And a willingness to seek God's guidance.
Yeah.
It's about asking God, what is your will in this situation?
Okay.
How can I be a part of your grace and justice?
Right.
Instead of assuming we know the answer.
So it's like a constant process of trying to figure things out, checking our motives, and making sure our actions line up with God's character.
Exactly. And that takes being honest with ourselves about our own limitations and biases.
Right.
We need to be willing to let go of our own desires and plans and trust God's wisdom.
I'm starting to see how this story, even though it's ancient history, is really relevant to the challenges we face today.
Absolutely.
We're always making decisions that have moral and ethical implications.
Right, yeah.
And it's easy to get caught up in our own limited perspectives.
It is. And that's where Oswald's insights are so helpful.
Okay.
He's reminding us that we're not alone in this struggle.
Right.
We have a God who is both merciful and just.
Yes.
Who wants to work in and through us to accomplish his purposes.
So if we're trying to apply this to our own lives, what are some practical steps we can take to make sure we're not falling into the same trap as Ahab?
Yeah.
How can we know if we're truly acting out of chesed or just following our own impulses?
That's a great question. And it brings us to another important part of this story. The prophet's role in confronting Ahab.
Right.
Remember how the prophet used that dramatic story of the escaped prisoner to show Ahab where he went wrong?
Yes. It was such a powerful way to deliver God's message.
It was.
It makes me think about how sometimes we need those wake-up calls.
Right.
Those moments of truth that challenge our assumptions and force us to see things differently.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And often those wake-up calls come through other people, you know?
Yeah.
Friends, mentors, pastors, people who can offer a different perspective and help us see what we might be missing.
That's so true. Sometimes we need those outside voices to help us see our blind spots and push us to grow. But it can be tough to take criticism, even when it comes from a good place.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It takes humility to listen to those who might be speaking truth into our lives.
Right.
especially when that truth is hard to hear.
Yeah.
But it's in those uncomfortable moments that we have the chance to really learn and grow.
This conversation is making me realize how much I need those people in my life.
Yeah.
Who are willing to speak the truth, even when it's difficult. It's so easy to get stuck in our own little bubbles, surrounded by people who always agree with us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We need those voices of dissent.
Right.
Those who are willing to challenge our thinking and help us see things from another angle.
Yeah.
It's through that dialogue and engagement that we can move closer to a deeper understanding of God's truth.
This has been such an eye-opening discussion.
It has.
I feel like I've gained a whole new perspective on the story of Ahab and Ben-Hadad.
Me too.
And on how complicated it is to try to live out Hesed in our own lives.
It is complicated.
Speaking of growth, Oswald makes another point that I think is really relevant to what we've been talking about.
Okay.
He talks about the importance of recognizing Yahweh as the God of the universe,
right?
Not just the God of a specific place or situation. He talks about how important it is to recognize Yahweh as the God of the universe, not just the God of a specific place or situation.
Yeah, that's so important. You know, remember how Ben-Hadad thought he could limit Yahweh's power just by fighting on the plains instead of the hills?
Yeah.
That's like a perfect example of trying to put God in a box to define him based on our own limited human understanding.
It's like he was saying, okay, Yahweh, you can be God over there, but over here, it's my rules.
Right.
Which obviously didn't work out too well for him.
Not at all. And Oswald reminds us that Yahweh isn't limited by our human limitations or categories. He's the God who created everything.
The whole universe.
Yeah, the whole universe.
Mm-hmm.
He holds everything together. He's the one orchestrating history according to his purposes.
So like when we face those impossible situations,
right,
when we're tempted to think God can't or won't act,
yeah,
we have to remember that he's working on a much bigger scale than we can even imagine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's where faith comes in, trusting that even when we don't understand what God is doing,
right,
he's still working for our good and for his glory.
It's humbling, isn't it?
It really is.
To realize how small our perspective is compared to the hugeness of God's plan.
Yeah.
It makes me think about that question Oswald asked earlier, who is Yahweh in your life? After this deep dive, I feel like I need to rethink my answer.
Yeah, I think that's a natural response. This story, with all its twists and turns, it challenges us to go beyond a surface level understanding of God.
Right.
It invites us to really wrestle with the complexities of his character. Yeah. And to recognize that he's bigger than our simple categories of mercy and justice.
So how do we answer that question, who is Yahweh, in a way that reflects this deeper understanding of his power and presence?
Well, for me, it starts with admitting that I don't have all the answers. You know, acknowledging my own limitations.
Okay.
It's about surrendering to God's will, even when it doesn't make sense to me. Trusting that he sees the bigger picture.
Which means being open to the possibility that God might call us to act in ways that are outside our comfort zone or even go against our own ideas about what's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's about always seeking his guidance, asking, what is your will, Lord? How can I be a part of your grace and justice?
This has been such a powerful deep dive.
It really has.
I feel like we've uncovered so many layers of meaning in the story of Ahab and Ben-Hadad.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that these ancient texts are full of wisdom and insight that can still speak to us today if we're willing to listen.
And that's what makes these deep dives so rewarding, isn't it?
Yeah.
We get to explore these rich and complex ideas together, unearthing those hidden gems of truth.
And hopefully walk away with a renewed sense of wonder and a deeper connection to the divine.
Well, thanks for joining us on this journey. We'll be back soon with another deep dive exploring a whole new set of ideas and perspectives. Until then, keep those questions coming and keep seeking the truth.